like the Antiques Roadshow. And I haven't actually seen it for a while, but I love to watch people's reactions when either they think they have something worth millions of dollars and it's junk, or they think they got something at a rummage sale and it's worth millions of dollars. And what I'm always amazed by in this show are the people that work there that can test things for their authenticity. So they can test paint, and they know what the wood, what time of, you know, time period the wood came from. They can tell how a leg was screwed onto a chair, like that was done in the 1500s. They know all of these crazy things, and they can test things for their authenticity, for if they're real or fake. And I kept thinking about that as I read the scripture for today, because John tells us today that there are spirits in the world, there are people who are false prophets, there are those speaking from God, and he said, test the spirits to see if they are really from God. And I thought, oh, that's so great, John, but how do we do it? It's not like the Antiques Roadshow where we can take something someone said or something we think and run it through some sort of little gizmo to make sure it's really the Word of God. And so I am constantly struggling to try to figure out how God is speaking in the world, how God is speaking to me, what spirits are from God and what spirits are just my own ego and my own need for comfort. It's this constant struggle within me, and I'm guessing within many of you. And the truth is, this notion of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and using the Word of God has been misused and abused in our world over and over. People use it for their own agendas. They use it to spread hate and sometimes downright lies. They use it to get ahead or for their own profit. There was a story a couple years ago about a televangelist who decided that he wanted a jet plane. He wanted his own personal jet plane so that he could more easily get to places in the world to spread the gospel. Seems, right, feasible, but the words he kept using were, you know, Jesus put it on my heart that I need this new jet plane. And so he got millions and millions of dollars through the television from people, many of whom could not afford to send him the money. And I checked in on this guy a little bit later, and you know, it turns out he was going places, but everywhere he went was serviced by a major airline, right? Like, I'm guessing Jesus did not put it on his heart that he needed a new jet plane. Probably his own comfort and his own greed and his own need to look important put it on his heart. In fact, I start to, and I'm not saying Jesus doesn't put things on our hearts, because Jesus has put things on my heart, but whenever it starts that way, I'm just like, you put it on your own heart, but you want this. How do we decide? The Word of God is so often misused or abused. Now, I'm guessing most of us haven't manipulated the Word of God to such an extent as this televangelist did, but we certainly do sometimes use it or try to use it to justify the things we're doing. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's more simple than that. We just don't even listen or think about the Word of God. Or I started thinking too, you know, I think sometimes the problem is we only want to hear the Word of God when there's some big, important thing in our lives. So we go to God asking God these super huge questions about what we should do in our lives, right? And then we expect to hear God. And the rest of the time in our life, we don't really listen. And sometimes I think about those super huge decisions in our lives. Not that God doesn't care about us, but God might not actually hear all the time what we do. So Greg Barnes tells this story. He's the president of the Divinity School in Princeton. And he tells a story about a graduate coming to see him. And this graduate had been given two job offers, one in Chicago and one in Houston. They were both very good jobs. And she came to him and she was so upset. She said, Dr. Barnes, I've been praying and praying and asking God which job I should take, and God isn't speaking to me. And again, I believe God answers prayers, so I'm not saying God wouldn't answer, but Craig Barnes said to her, well, maybe, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there, maybe God doesn't really care which job you take. Because Chicago's a good job in a good city, Houston's a good job in a good city, and maybe what God cares more we go to God with these super big things instead of remembering that when God is speaking to us and when God wants to hear and how the Spirit moves sometimes are in those tiny little mundane acts, those everyday things where we're not even listening for God, where we're not paying attention, or we're just moving forward for our own advantage, for our own pleasure, or our own good. In the text for today, in this letter from 1 John, John is writing to people who are splintering off. We talked about this a little bit last week. This letter was to some of the earliest Christians. And the problem they were having was with spirits, with people claiming to be from God who weren't, but also with this notion that God was only spiritual. And as long as you believed in this spiritual thing, that your body didn't matter, the bodies of other people didn't matter, how you treated one another didn't matter. And so this whole letter from John is about how we love our neighbor. And that Jesus isn't just about some spirit in the sky. Jesus came as flesh into the world. And his flesh matters, and your flesh matters, and how we treat each other's flesh matters. And, you know, I'd like to say, oh, we've come so far 2,000 years later, but I think so much in Christianity, too, we get all wrapped up in thinking somehow about our personal salvation and make it all spiritual, and forget that what Jesus calls us to is one another's flesh and taking care of one another. And so often that's where God's speaking and we're not listening. I've mentioned the book Nickels and Dimes in America before, and one of my favorite stories from this book, a woman who went around the country trying to make a living on a minimum wage and seeing if she could do it. And one of the jobs she took was as a waitress. And she said there was a group that would come in every Sunday after church, and she just hated it because they never tipped. And instead, what they would do is leave one of those tracts about how she could be saved through Jesus. And she's like, I didn't need to know about my personal salvation. I need to be able to buy groceries, right? And that is what matters to Jesus, that this woman has enough to eat. And yet the people claiming to be going in as Christians don't leave her enough money so that she can do that. God is speaking to us, but not always in ways we want to hear and not always in places we will listen. God is telling us that you matter, that the person next to you matters, and that how we treat one another matters. So I wish I had a secret formula to tell you when God is speaking to you and when it's your own ego or your own whatever speaking to you. But I think there might be one little test. If it's hard, it's probably from God. If it goes against what you want to do, but might be what's better for those around you in the world, it's probably God. There's this great thing they did with the first Bible. So when they were putting together what we know as the Bible, they had all of these different copies of the Bible that people had written to that point. And many of them were different in small ways. So when they were deciding how to make that Bible and what was the actual thing they would put in there, one of the criteria they used was which verse or what part of the stories seemed the least likely. Which were kind of the craziest? And those were the ones they put in. Because they said it is less likely that anybody would make that up. That's probably true, right? Because sometimes truth is crazier than our craziest notions. And so they put that in. They put in the hardest things, the most unlikely things. And I think we can probably put that test to our life. If it is difficult but loving, it is probably from God. If it seems crazy but it is loving, it is probably from God. If it stretches you and makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but is loving, it is probably from God. Because God came into this world and told us to do hard things. Didn't just give us the news, did give us the news that we will share in eternal life, but also asked us to do hard things. to forgive those who seemed unforgivable. Jesus asks in stories like the Good Samaritan for us to go out of the way and interrupt our day to pick up somebody off of the road. Jesus asks us to care less about what we will get and more about what we can give. These are hard things, but they are the things of God. So listen, and then don't be afraid. There's another verse in this text that I like very much, and it says that the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. The one that is in you, God in you, is greater and bigger than all of those other voices that try to drown God out, if we will listen. And here's the thing about God. God is pretty tenacious. So you can plug up your ears, stop them all you want, and God will keep speaking and speaking and speaking, waiting for you to hear. Because what God wants is difficult. God wants a world where peace and love and joy reign supreme. It is difficult. But the God that is in you is greater than that which is in the world. And when we unstop our ears and join in those difficult things of God, we can together